Blog Talk Radio. strong in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of the fire, that he may be able to stand quietly. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against
And now, Voices of the True Israelites, with your host, the Seer of Seed Royal.
To the four corners of the globe, praise his righteous and powerful name. Hallelujah.
Of the True Israelites, with your host, the Seer of Seed Royal.
To the four corners of the globe, praise his righteous and powerful name. Hallelujah.
Live Yahweh's Radio. Worldwide International Radio Broadcast is now on the air. Yahweh's Radio, Yahweh's Ministry. I be your host, by name, your Seer, Israel, of Seed Royal. We're doing a series called Seed Royal, the Nobles of Yahdah. Clean out. Fix the blame and solve the problem. And we're just going to get off into some things that we left off on. And we'll see who will be on stage for tonight's episode, part number 19. And who we see on stage is the mother. That means one thing. We got the proper zeal. The step to the plate. And that's what it's all about. That's what it's all about. We'll see if we can get something going on with the mothers. Until got a lot of memos saying a lot of the big dignitaries that be on the broadcast either at work or on their way to the broadcast. We'll see. So if you can find Mother E, and we'll hold out until we can get some more going on around here. Hey, Mother E, travel y'all got duty. Y'all probably be just sitting right here.
Yahweh bless you, still Israel of Seed Royal. Hallelujah, Yahweh.
Hallelujah, Yahweh. Mother E, I can tell you one thing. The beat goes on, and Yahweh's business got to be done. So I see you bright-eyed, bushy-tailed, ready to do your part. And so I'm going to say Yahweh be with you. And how about Mother Z? Do you want to come on stage and hold out until the cavalry get around that Mother Z? Hey, Mother Z, y'all probably beat you up to your right. Know the mother out of Camelot.
Can't hear now. Can't hear right now.
All right. So I guess we'll do the best we can then, Mother. We'll take a look at a few things. Play it as an unfold itself for take number 19. So let's get right into it, Mother, because they'll be a little bit late. The cavalries will be a little bit late getting in, but we'll hold out. So once you take a look at Luke chapter 12, verse 12, and we'll see which way you go from there.
Book of Luke, chapter 12, verse 12. For the righteous spirit shall teach you in the same hour what you ought to say.
That's right, Mother. You got to never forget that, Mother E. The righteous spirit will do a part. Well, let me check and see. It might be another one. The sisters out of Camp 1 coming to the ball camp. We'll find out in a minute. Let's find out if this Sister Judith's coming on the broadcast to get in where she fit in and on that microphone. We'll find out. Child of Yah God Judith, Sister Judith, Yahweh be with you, see you right.
Yahweh be with you, see you right. Hallelujah, Yahweh.
All right. Yahweh bless me. All right, good. All right, Sister Judith, you sound like you, we see you're battling a little sinus, but that's the kind of fight we need. The battle of that fight, but in the same token, be ready to throw that microphone down for Yahweh because he brings everything on us, and he can be the one to take it off of us. All we got to do is make sure we get him right because, matter of fact, Sister Judith, let me show you what kind of power this man got, how this man operates. Let's get a verse there, Judas. Let's get a verse in behind that. Let's run to the 11th chapter of St. John, because Mother already got some Luke 12 prayer. So in the 11th chapter of Sister Judas, let me show you what kind of power this man got. And we got to never forget this thing. In St. John chapter 11, Sister Judas, we're going to look at the power of our Almighty One on what we're dealing with. Let's see what kind of power he got. In the 11th chapter, Judith, we're going to look down at something. What we want. Let's pick it around by verse number 33. Let's look at the 11th chapter around by verse 33 from Judas, and we're going to read down to 43. 33 to 43, and let's see what we get out of this so far. I'll tell you what, give me 33 down to verse 40, and Mother E, pick up at verse 41 down to verse 44. There you go. Sister Judith, St. John chapter 11, 33, down to verse number 40. Come on.
John chapter 11, verse 33 to 40. Verse 33 reads, when Yahweh the Son therefore saw her weeping, and the Yahweh Judah also weeping, which came with her, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled. Verse 34 reads, and said, where have ye laid him? They said unto him, Yahweh, come and see. Verse 35, Yahweh the Son wept. Verse 36, then said the Yahweh Judah, behold how he loved him. Verse 37, and some of them said, could not this man which opened the eyes of the blind have caused that even this man should not have died? Verse 38 reads, Yahweh the Son, therefore again, groaning in himself, cometh to the grave. It was a cave and his stone lay upon it. Verse 39 reads, Yahweh's son said, take ye away the stone. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, said unto him, Yahweh, by this time he stinketh, for he have been dead four days. Verse 40 reads, Yahweh's son said unto her, say, I not unto thee that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the honor of Yahweh.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So he's saying now this man called Lazarus, her brother, he was dead, Sister Judith. He's a dead man. That means he had something worse than a sinus, a nose cold, a nose cold. He was dead. Now we're going to watch the power of our mighty one, what he says behind that in verse 41. Come on, mother. Hey, mother, let's look at verse 41. Now, remember, this man is dead. And Yahweh cried over him a little bit. But then all of a sudden, around about verse 41, mother, we'll read till we get our point. What happened in verse 41?
St. John chapter 11, verse 41. Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. And Yahweh the Son lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. 42. And I know that thou hearest me always. But because of the people which stand by, I said it, that thou may believe that thou hast seen me. Verse 33. And when he thus has spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. Verse 44. And he that was dead come forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothing, and his face was bound about with a napkin. Yahweh the Son said unto them, loose him and let him go.
So you see that? So Yahweh got the power to whatever ailing you is to loose it and let it go. So he got all that power. So that's one thing about it. That's why we all got number one thing. You got to keep this man first. He got all this power. He says, this man has been laid dead for 4 days. And Yahweh said, well, Father, you always hear me. I wonder why did he say that? Father, you always hear me. Mother, let's see if we can find out why did he say that in 1 John chapter 3, verse 22. Why he said, Father, you always hear me. Let's see if we can precept that and find out what happened in 1 John chapter 3, verse 22. Let's see why he said that. 1 John 3, 22.
1 John chapter 3, verse 22. 1 John chapter 3, verse 22 reads, and whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight.
You see that? So the son had that card to flash before his father. He said, Father, I do all the things that please you in your sight. And I want you to show your big black hand right now. It's not that I don't believe. It's just they need to believe that you is all that. So now, give me a precept on that, mother. Give me a precept in the book of Nehemiah 8, verse 10, and Sister Judith have me Revelation chapter 12, 17, and 14, 12, waiting on me. Let's even get a precept on that, Mother. Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 10.
Okay. Thank you. Nehemiah.
Yep, Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 10.
Look at Nehemiah. Oh boy. Nehemiah. Come on, Nehemiah.
Hey, so the dude's grabbing that Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 10. What does it say?
Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 10 reads, "Then he said unto them, Go your way, eat the fat, and drink the sweet, and send portions unto them for whom nothing is prepared. For this day is righteous unto our Yahweh. Neither be you sorry, for the joy of the Yahweh is your strength."
Yes, Judas. So to the Jews, what is our strength?
Yahweh.
No, according to that last verse, what is our strength according to that? What is our strength according to that last verse you read? The joy of
Yahweh.
So there is a difference, Judas. So the joy of Yahweh to be in that number is supposed to be a joy to us of Yahweh's strength. See, this is a joy, a privilege that he has picked this ministry to deliver foundation for all of the known world that's on the network to understand. So this is supposed to be a joy. A joy because Yahweh is our strength. So Mother E, he made a profound statement behind that. He made a profound statement, David did, behind that kind of conversation. Let's see what David said, Mother. We're going to the 51st chapter of the book of Psalms. We're going to precept there and see what. Let David remember, it's a joy to be able to come for this national audience over 900,000 strong word out for our blessing. So we have to understand this is a joy to do this right here. 51, and we're going to pick up at verse number 9. We'll read down a little bit.
Book of Psalms, chapter 51, verse 9.
Yeah, read
down
a little
bit. Hide their face from my sins and blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a clean mind, O Yahweh, and renew a righteous spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence and take not thy righteous spirit from me. Verse 12. Restore unto me the joy of their salvation and uphold me with their free spirit. 13. Then will I teach transgressors thy way, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. 14.
That's good. Right there, mother. Come on back again. What does David want to have in verse 12, mother?
Restore unto me the joy of their salvation.
You see that, Mother? So this thing is a joy. This is a joy to be able to be in this timeline. Many generations have passed by. But this supposed to be a joy, and you got to understand that it is a joy. A joy to do what? Hey, Sister Judith, now give me that Revelation chapter 12:17 and 14, verse 2. Now give it to me, Sister Judith. What you got there in Revelation 12:17?
Revelation chapter 12:17 reads, and the dragon was rough with the woman and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which keep the commandments of Yahuwah and have the testimony of Yahuwah the Son.
So the dragon was wroth with the woman. And why he was mad with this woman called the children of Israel, that was a woman mean, because they kept the commandments, they kept the law. So Satan will always do whatever he can to keep you away from keeping that law. So he's gonna try to be everything he can to you to try you to see what you get away from that law. 14:12, what it says,
Judas. Revelation chapter 14:12 reads, here is the patience of the saints, children of Israel. Here are they that keep the commandments of Yahuwah and the faith of Yahuwah the Son.
What you said? So we have to have patience today to do this and take care of this man's business. Now, I want to look at something there. Sister Judith, I want to look at a statement. And where I want to start at. Let's see what we got to be in 1 Kings 19:10. Let's see what we got.
1 Kings 19:10 reads, and he said, I have been very jealous for the Yahuwah of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thy altars, and slain thy seers with the sword. And I...
So he said he was very zealous. He was very zealous. We're gonna look up that word and find out what that word means, Sister Judas, zealous. We're going to find out what that word means. Hey, Mother E, so Sister Judas, look up that word. If you're able to look up that word, see what that word zealous means. Z-E-A-L-O-U-S. While Mother E, we're going to look at 1 Corinthians. No, I want to look at something in the book of Numbers. I want to find out how this word zealous is used. Now, Sister Judith, when you find that definition of it, let me know you got the definition of what the word zealous means. But Mother E, just look at Numbers chapter 25:10 down to verse 13.
25:10-13.
Yeah, number 25:10-13.
Book of Numbers, chapter 25:10-13. Verse 10. And the Yahweh speaks unto Moses, saying, verse 11, Pinhead, the son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron, the priest, had turned my wrath away from the children of Israel, while he was zealous for my faith, it was them that I consumed, not the children of Israel in my jealousy. Verse 12, wherefore say, behold, I give unto him my covenant of peace. Verse 13, and he shall have it and his seed after him, even the covenant of an everlasting priesthood, because he was zealous for his Yahweh and made an atonement for the children of Israel.
You see that, Mama E and Sister Judith? See, when you're zealous for you some Yahweh, your spirit is right. Don't think you're not going unnoticed by the angels to report back to Yahweh. He said, you know, Mother E is zealous for us in Yahweh. And so Yahweh, the angels, they make you, when you got that zeal, I mean, that zealous spirit, and you're ready to go empty in season, out of season from Yahweh, they make note for that. He says, for Phinehas to have all this good spirit going for him, I'm going to make him something and to come out his loins forever, because he was zealous for him from Yahweh. That means he was ready to go. When it's time to take care of Yahweh's business, he's ready to go. That's the kind of spirit Yahweh look for. Because he didn't want to try you with all types of ailments and everything else. But in the same token, that's the kind of spirit we got to have. And we got to treat every day that we come on our ways, or whenever we in Yahweh's word, like it's our land. Because it can't be our land. That's why you got to make sure you're zealous for some Yahweh. I mean, zealous. Matter of fact, I got to get a precept on that, Mother E. Exactly how we got to be. And 2 Timothy 4:1. I got to get a precept on that, Mother. In 2 Timothy chapter 4:1, Anytime you have opportunity to spread Yahweh's words, you got to be zealous for it. Don't nobody have to supposed to rile you up or nothing. You're supposed to be ready to go, because you know Yahweh, he likes that spirit. So we want to get down and let's read verse 2. Let's just say in verse 2 there, Mother. 2 Timothy 4, verse 2.
2 Timothy chapter 4. Verse 2, teach the word, be excellent, in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exalt, with all long-suffering and doctrine.
See that? So you say you got to be infant, you got to be infant in season and out of season. Anytime that book is cracked, that spirit goes automatically, just ponder up to the highest. So today, it's fine. If Yahweh's Bob, automatically, it's just like it's higher than prom day. It's higher than birth of a child. It's higher when it comes down to Yahweh's business, and that's the key Yahweh looking for. Those that will put their time in one thing. Doing Yahweh's business. And when you're doing Yahweh's business, they take note of you doing Yahweh's business. So we find out that, so Sister Judy, did you find that definition of what the word zealous means?
Yes, sir. The meaning of jealous is feeling or showing envy of someone or their investments or and advantages. Feeling or showing suspicion of someone's unfaithfulness in a relationship.
No, that ain't the right definition there. Okay. Zealous, you got the word zealous, Z-E-A-L-O-U-S.
Yes.
Not jealous. No, zealous got a Evidently, you read what I call something.
Z-E-A-L. Okay. Zealous means showing great energy or enthusiasm in pursuit of a cause or objective.
Well, I can go a little bit with that, a little bit, but what you just found out a little bit. Zealous means that zealous got more of an upbeat to it. It's showing that you will go the 9 yards plus. So we'll get at that definition another time then, because that's not, they got many of them, but you got to look in there and pick out the one you need for this event right here. Matter of fact, we'll get a case in point. Let me show you in a case in point what that means. Let's get a case in point by going back to the Bible. Let's go to First Maccabees there, Sister Judy. We'll get a case of what zealous means by going to the Bible. That's why you got to be looking in the dictionaries and get the parts you need. So we go on and look at it through the Bible and see how the Bible uses the word called zealous. Z-E-A-L-O-U-S. Let's go to First Maccabees 2 and pick a verse 19 down to verse 27. Now we're going to get the biblical definition of this word called zealous. What do zealous mean? Come on. Pick up at 219 and read a little bit.
First Maccabees chapter 2, verses 19 to 27. Verse 19 reads, "Then Matthias answered and spake with a loud voice, Do all the nations that are under the king's dominion obey him, and fall away everyone from the religion of their fathers, and give consent to his commandments." Verse 20 reads, "Yet will I and my sons and my brethren walk in the covenant of our fathers." Verse 21 reads, "Yahweh forbid that we should forsake the law and the ordinance. Verse 22 reads, "We will not hearken to the king's words to go from our religion either on the right hand or the left." Verse 23 reads, "Now when he had left speaking these words, there came one of the Yada Judah in the sight of all to sacrifice on the altar which was to modern according to the king's commandment." Verse 24 reads, "Which thing when Matthias saw, he was inflamed with zeal, and his reins trembled, neither could he forbear to show his anger according to judgment. Wherefore he ran and slew him upon the altar." Verse 25 reads, "And the king's commissioner who compelled men to sacrifice, he killed at that time, and the altar he pulled down." Verse 26 reads, "Thus doth the zealous for the law of Yahweh, like as confined did unto Zimbari, the son of Solomon." Verse 27 reads, "And Matthias cried throughout the city with a loud voice, saying, Whosoever is zealous of the law and manifests the covenant, let him follow me."
Yeah. So you see that zealous mean? See, that means you zealous for you some Yahweh. He sent out with a loud voice. He's now who is how many gonna be zealous for the law of Yahweh? See, that's the proper definition. Not being, not hateful or anything. It's just the proper zealous is those that want to get this thing with some urgency. He said, now, although everybody doing everything that the king got on the table, the big dignitaries, but I'm going to ask you to size my son. who among you will be zealous for some Yahuwah's law? Then you follow me. So there is a devil, Judas. That word zealous means those that's going to go the distance, the mile, and some more miles for some Yahuwah. There go your zealous. That's how you do that. So when you become a zealous for Yahuwah, then Mother Eve, what it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 15. And you become a what? And when you zealous for some Yahuwah, then you become a what? Let's see what it says in 1 Corinthians 16, 15. Let's see what happens when you zealous for some Yahuwah.
1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 15 reads, 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 15. I beseech you, brethren, you know the family of Stephanus, that it is the first fruit of Achaia, and that they have addicted themselves to the minister of the rank.
You hear that, Mother? They was what again? What big word they got there? They was addicted to the ministry of the rank. They were addicted. They were just like we call today, how they misuse this word as you addicted to a drug or something. No, they was addicted to the word of Yahweh. They was addicted to when them books open up, when them Saturday classes going on, they was addicted to it. It's like a person on drugs in the modern day time. That's how they was when it came down to Yahuwah's ministry. They was addicted to the ministry. You hear that, Mother E? That's the kind of spirit Yahuwah like the spirit when you are addicted to this. That means what's better and what's higher. Nothing when it comes down to Yahuwah's word, because I'm addicted to me some Yahuwah's word. Because I know if I put this to the side and half step with it, it's going to show up. So, you know, you ask anybody that's on morphine or whatever, and you're addicted to that. You can be addicted to a lot of things. But when you're addicted to being a saint of Yahuwah, Mother Eve, and what is the biblical definition of being a saint? 148, verse 14. Come. Let's find out what is the biblical definition of being addicted to being a saint. You're addicted to what in 148, verse 14?
Okay. The book of Psalms, chapter 148, verse 14. Okay. Psalm 148, verse 14 reads, he also exalted the horn of his people, the praise of all his saints, even of the children of Israel. A people near unto him, praise you, Yahuwah.
So what he was saying in 1 Corinthians, what Paul was telling, he said he's addicted to the children of Israel. Because he was giving the order to go find them, get their minds back on straight, get their mind right. So he was addicted to go and get their mind right, and he ran to a ministry. A ministry where he was at, and he found out you had a whole family of teachers, and they was addicted, just like Paul was. So you got to be to get the blessing in Yahuwah, you have to have a spirit of being addicted to this right here. Then he would tell all type of ailments and everything else, go find you somewhere else to go, because that's mine. And because they do the things that please me. That's how the good things don't happen. So now, we'll get a case in point, Mother E. We go on to get to 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 10. Let's read that again. And Sister Judith have me 2 Kings 10, verse 16, waiting on. We're going to get, and I need a definition of the word called zeal. What that word means. Now, we know what zealous means. That means that you're gonna break out running to keep you from Yahweh. So I'll tell you what to do, Sister Judith. Look up that word zeal, Z-E-A-L. Hey, Mother, pick that up at 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 10. And I need to have a definition of this word called zeal after Sister Judith look it up. Let's see what we got. 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 10, Mother.
1 Kings chapter 19, verse 10. And he said, I have been very jealous of the Yahweh of hosts, but the children of Israel have forsaken my covenant, thrown down my altar, and slain my seal with this sword. And
that's good. That's good, Mother. So you find out that Ezekiel, Elijah, he was very zealous for him from Yahweh, because get your children of Israel and tell them how low down they've been. But he was zealous enough to try his best to do the best he can. So you got to be zealous for this business right here. Now, Sister Judith, what do the word zeal mean? Z-E-A-L.
The definition of zeal means dedication or enthusiasm for something.
Ain't that something? Dedication and enthusiasm for something. So that's the spirit you got to have. You got to have zeal. You got to have zeal. You know, I was listening to an old tape, and I said, well, I still hear that old zeal and old fear. That means one thing. Y'all are still working with it. So now, let's get a case in point on that, Sister Judith. Let's get a case in point of zeal. Now, look in the mirror and see, I'm talking to the national audience, what do you stand on being zeal for you from Yahweh? 2 Kings 10:16 is real a little bit. Let's see who do you know fit that. Matter of fact, when you get to read a couple of verses, I'm going to ask y'all a question. Who do you know after we read 2 Kings 10 through 16, I want to get an answer after Sister Judith reads a couple of verses in 2 Kings 10, 16. Come on.
2 Kings chapter 10, verse 16 reads, and he said, come with me and see my zeal for the Yahweh. So they made him ride in his chariot. Verse 17 reads, and when he came to Samaria, he slew all that remained unto Ahab in Samaria till he had destroyed him, according to the saying of the Yahweh, which he spake to Elijah.
Yeah. So now what was this zeal, Sister Judith? Y'all kept those three out. He said, now what was this? Now he was to be, Jehu was to be king, because the seer had him anointed. Now, so to have zeal for Yahweh, what did he do, and what did he say to those that was around him? And so break that down in verse 16, 17. Take a shot at this, Judith, and Mother Eve, she either agree or add on to it. Come on. What's going on in that verse 10, 16, and 17?
When he said he come with me to see my zeal for the Yahweh, to see my dedication to the Yahweh.
Good. And what was his dedication in the next book? So what was his assignment that was given by the seer for him to do in the next verse?
Mm-hmm. verse 17, and when he came to Samaria, he slew all that remained unto Ahab and Samaria till he had destroyed them. So
what's the deal for Yahweh?
He destroyed them.
You're right. Exactly right. His deal was for Yahweh to go do some killing for some Yahweh. Yahweh was going to see Ahaz and Jezebel and them put down on the ground, lay them flat. So he was anointed way back. He was anointed to do that. And he said, come watch my zeal when I go over there and do some killing. Because I'm doing this on the spirit of me from Yahweh. Yahweh sent me down here. And Yahweh, he'll put a blessing on you when you understand what deal do you have for some Yahweh. So they ain't going right there. You got to look in the mirror and say, now where is my deal at? So do I have deal for some Yahweh? Now we found out even Phinehas, the mother read earlier, he had some zeal and Yahweh blessed him with an everlasting priesthood. Because he said he had zeal for me. That means he didn't cameo me. No. He went on and done some dealing. So you got to examine yourself and look in the mirror, especially on the international side, what zeal do you have for some Yahweh? You can't be coming around with this. You got to have zeal for him. Give it all you got. And that means you got some zeal for him. And then he'll write that down, the angels will. And then one day you might need him. He said, hey, Yahweh, I need you now. He said, yeah, well, let me ask the angels, when did you have some zeal for me? When did you have some zeal to keep my Sabbath day, my feast day, where I'm friends? Thus says from Yahweh, give me the report of that individual thing. They want me to help them. And then they're going to say, I don't know. I don't see nothing in there that I can work with. That's why we got to examine ourselves now to make sure one thing, we got zeal. Something. Zeal is passion for us in Yahweh. You got to have the right spirit. You got to have that more bounce to the ounce spirit. And that's where Yahweh is going to put that blessing on first. See? So now, so it ain't no accident what we doing in Yahweh. And that's why you're going to give it all you got. Now we're going to the other hand of it now. Look at the other hand on this. We're going to Acts chapter 20, verse number 9. Now we're gonna just see. That's why he'll give you that spirit in that same hour. What kind of lesson to put on the table? And the lesson on the table is to make sure you examine yourself. Do you put this man first, or is this man an afterburner to you? Are you zealous for some Yahweh, or are you cameo for Yahweh? Do you have zeal for Yahweh? Or you don't have zeal for Yahweh. Because when anytime Yahweh's business, we have to make sure that's going first, because one thing about it, we was created to be have zeal and zealous for Yahweh. So we got to examine ourselves, because one day we might need it. And then you call on him and he look at your record and say, your record, no, their record was cameoing me. They picked me up when they got ready. I blessed them in their hand, and all of a sudden now they find more to do otherwise than take care of my business. See? That's the case. So we go on to Acts chapter 20 and pick up verse 9 there, Mother E. Let's see what we're working with.
The book of Acts chapter 20, verse 9. And there sits in a woman, a certain young man, named Ethan, being fallen into a deep sleep. And as Paul was longing, proceeding, he sunk down with sleep and fell down from the third floor and was taken up dead.
You see, hold that right there. Now, Paul was in a teaching ministry. Paul was in a big gathering. And Paul was giving them the word of Yahweh. And this man, while Paul was giving the word of Yahweh, he put in his mind that he wants to do what, mother? What did he do?
Okay, Paul was long in teaching. He sunk down. Okay.
He sunk down. Why? Why he do that? Keep going back.
Okay.
Why he do that when Paul was teaching?
Okay.
Hold on, mother. I got it, mother. I get it. So Paul was teaching. He fell asleep. He just slumped. It's like going to a Christian church. And when you get there, the preacher be lying so hard, you just fall asleep in there.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what he did. He fell asleep. But he was sitting in the window. And Paul was teaching so hard, and he just fell asleep and slumped down and fell out the window.
Mm-hmm.
See? So what zealous and zeal he had. So he was just going through the motion, and Yahweh killed him. But he used that for example for us today. If you read down a little further, Paul went down, and Paul revived him. Paul brought him back because he went to sleep while the ministry was going on, while Paul was teaching good. He fell asleep. So you know, like when he put off Yahweh, oh, I'm busy. I ain't got no time for Yahweh. I can't make the Sabbath day. I can't. This came up. That came up. See? So there you go right there. Now, and when you get in that spirit, now we're going to find out what happened when you get in that spirit. Well, I can't wear no more. I can't wear my fringe. I wear them only then when I class, I take them and hide them out. And all that kind of stuff. See, they do that. They wear their fringes long enough to just come through the classes. And the minute they get out of class, they take their fringes off. No. Yahweh, the fringes is your sign and your roadmap. For Yahweh to know who you are, because you might need him, and them fringes always was a reminder to you, instant in season and out of season. Now, let's remember, this guy fell asleep, didn't he? Didn't he, mother? He fell asleep. Huh? That what he did? He fell asleep while Paul was teaching. He slumped down in his seat in the window, and fell out of the window, and Paul went down there to revive him. Now, let's preach up that little bit, Mother. We're going to preach up that little bit. Let's go to Jeremiah 6, verse 8. Jeremiah 6, verse 8.
Jeremiah.
Chapter 6, verse 8.
Okay.
Jeremiah, chapter 6, verse 8.
Jeremiah, chapter 6, verse 8. Be thus instructed of Yahweh that Judah, lest my soul depart from thee, lest I make thee desolate, a land not inhabited.
Let me see now and read that, mother. Because there's something in that verse. Let me see now. I bring that verse out of there, Jeremiah 6, verse 8. Let me take a piece of that. Let's see what that's saying. Because it's, He made a profound statement here, but we're going to reanalyze this. This verse number 8. Let's see what he says in Jeremiah 6:8. It says, be thou instructed. He's telling, now Jeremiah is going to the southern kingdom. And this is what he said. Be thou instructed, O Judah, that my soul depart from thee. So what do you mean by that? That means Yahweh will take that word from you. See, if you drag your feet on this word, you can't you pick yourself every time and then look for something, and all of a sudden you can't remember nothing. You know, he's telling Judah, southern kingdom, put some time in my word. Then you might need me one day. One day you might look for me, and I'll be on departed from thee. That's what he said, mother. So Jeremiah was sent to the southern kingdom to tell them, be thou instructed, O Judah, lest my soul depart from thee. That he says, speaking from the mouth of Yahweh, look at that, where was he speaking from the mouth of Yahweh here behind that? So see, now you go into the precept there, also the Judah. The precept there for the WCC, 500 million members, the word that precept at, see? Let's see if we peep that in 2 Chronicles 36. Let's give him a precept there around by verse 12. Jeremiah was speaking from the mouth of the Almighty, and when they asked for a precept, just go in here, give him a precept and keep it moving. 2 Chronicles 36, verse 12, so the Jews, what it say?
Second Chronicles chapter 36 verse 12 reads, and he did that which was evil in the sight of the Yahweh, his Yahweh, and humbled not himself before Jeremiah the seer, speaking from the mouth of the Yahweh.
Yeah, yes, Judah. So he did, and that same thing this man did. He did, and he sent Jeremiah, sent him down, Yahweh sent Jeremiah down to tell the southern kingdom. Listen, he said in that 6 verse 8, be thou instructed, O Judah, lest my soul depart from thee. Now let's get a precept on that. What are you talking about, Sister Judah? We're going to get a precept on that. And 28 verse 6, what do you mean by my soul depart from thee? Let's precept that to 1 Samuel 28, verse 6.
First Samuel chapter 20. Can you repeat that, please?
1 Samuel 28, verse 6.
Oh. 1 Samuel chapter 28, verse 6 reads, And when Saul inquired of the Yahweh, the Yahweh answered him neither by dreams, nor by Urim, nor by seers.
Yes. So yes, Mother Z, and Judith. So now, so you think you can pick Yahweh up when you get ready, then all of a sudden you want Yahweh to show you a precept or something, and what happened in 28 verse 6?
And when Saul inquired of the Yahweh answered him neither by dreams nor by Urim or by the seers, nor by seers.
You see, by you see what happened? See, you got a lot of brothers and sisters pick this up casually. They never do what he requires you to do. Hey, Mother Z, y'all my business, see you right here.
Yahweh, bless and keep you, see Israel, the royal seed. Hallelujah, Yahweh.
Hallelujah. Hey, Mother Z, look what Yahweh requires you to do in 26 verse 40. Let's see, in Matthew 26 verse 40, look what Yahweh requires you to do in 26 verse number 40.
Matthew chapter 26 verse 40. Matthew chapter 26, verse 40. And he came unto the disciples and found them asleep and said unto Peter, why couldn't ye not watch? Why could ye not watch with me 1 hour?
How much time Yahweh what's the limit time Yahweh asked you to do daily, Mother? What Yahweh requires daily?
1 hour.
At least one hour. You got brothers and sisters picking the book once, maybe just on the Saturday. Just only on the Saturday. They got in a rhyme of day. They'll pick his book up on the Sabbath day, and they wonder why they can't precept nothing, why they can't buy nothing, why nothing won't come to them. Sister Judas got to read why nothing ain't come to you, why you can't precept the Bible, why you can't find a verse. You can parakeet all day long. Hey, Sister Judas, read that again. 1 Samuel 28, verse 6 again.
First Samuel chapter 28 verse 6 reads, then First Samuel chapter 28 verse 6 reads, and when Saul inquired of the Yahweh answered him not, neither by dreams nor by Urim nor by prophets.
When Saul inquired
of the Yahweh, the Yahweh answered him not, neither by dreams nor Urim nor by seers.
You see that? That means, you see that? And that's why you watching a lot of people. They be confused. They can't find nothing because they think it's just like a body part. If you don't use your body part and you think all of a sudden you're going to use the body part, then all of a sudden, you know, it collapses on you. You think, you know, if you don't use, like, for example, if your left arm is partly damaged for a minute, and you don't use that left arm, and every time then when it's time to use that left arm, what will happen? That left arm ain't gonna work for you. That's saying anybody Yahweh's word. If you don't put no time in this word, then you're not going to never be able to help yourself or nobody come in contact with you. It's like a body part. If you don't use it, it'll get away from you. The reason why the six anointed camp, the majority of them can preach up the Bible and move forward, because you got to put the time in. The same thing you got to do about anything else. If you want to make it work, you got to put the time in. So you think you can pick this Bible up when you get ready and think you can make something happen? No, it don't work like that. You're going to be lost every time. All thing you do is be on remembering. Oh, I remember, but where is that? I don't know. You know why? Yahweh has been taken away from you. You can't all of a sudden now, well, I'm going to run in the race. How you run in the race? You've been sitting in the wheelchair. You've been sitting in the wheelchair for a year. And now you're going to jump up and get into the marathon on the same day. So you got that wheelchair, you're going to quit. And that's the point you make. You got to prepare yourself before you got to do that. Like, for example, exercising, kicking your blood up, and drink a lot of water. Now, when you need them legs to move out for you, you've been exercising your legs, drinking a lot of water, and you had your Yahuwah first. Now, Yahuwah will work with you. That's the same thing. A lot of people think they'd be all stopped up. They don't know why. They don't drink water but once a month. They drink everything but straight water. You got to drink water. You got to exercise the body parts, but your Yahuwah must be first. Then you reach for Yahuwah and he got you. You know, we wonder why God Cook always, you got Doc Cook on your speed call. You know why Doc Cook is on your speed call, Dallas? And he always going to give you another bottle to use because you don't follow the message of Yahuwah. Keep Yahuwah first. Drink plenty of water and exercise. Do something to shake your blood up. It's like anything that you got sitting there still, a pot, anything sitting still long enough, it'll float down and the flavor go down to the bottom like juice. You take that juice and shake it up real good, and all the chemicals come back up, and now it tastes like, oh, this juice tastes flat. You know why? Look at it. You don't let it sit too long. Shake it up. The same thing you got to do about your body. If you want that leg for no blood clogs in your legs, exercise your legs. Shake your blood up. You don't want to have your back hurting you? Shake your blood up. Keep your blood moving. That's why you see the majority of people that retire 6 months to a year later, they're dead. You know why? Now they're going to sit on the dock of the bay and they ain't going to do nothing. What you do when you retire? I ain't going to do nothing. I'm just going to sit out there on the dock of the bay. And you find them dead or her dead on the dock of the bay. Why? Because now you're not doing nothing but building up blood clogs in your body because you're not using it. You got to keep your water first. You got to drink plenty of water. And you got to exercise. Then, when you need the body parts to work for you, they'll work for you. All right, good enough on that. That's a tip on the way of getting a tip of information. So we find out that Saul won't get an answer. He went to the seers and get no answer. He couldn't find an answer nowhere. So he knew he had to go to. He had to go get bewitched to get an answer. And that would happen up. Because Yahweh will pull his word from you unless you apply it the way he got it written in the Bible. You don't do it the way he got it written in the Bible, hey, he'll get away from you. Now, we got that out of the way. Now let's go and see some more things. Let's go to Mother E. Let's go to Revelation chapter 1, and let's find what kind of condition Paul is in. I mean, John, what kind of condition he in by going to Revelation chapter 1, 9 through 11. Let's see what we get out of this month.
Okay. Revelation chapter 1, 9 to 11. Chapter 1, verse 9. I, John, who also am your brother and companion in tribulation and in the kingdom and patience of Yahweh the Son, was in the isle that is called Patmos for the word of Yahweh.
Right there. I want to deal with that. Now, where was John at again now? Now, I want to deal a little bit. Right there, I want to deal with just what John just said. What he said he was at again, Mother? Take your time. Now, we're going to do a little teaching on what you just got through reading, what he just said. Read that again. Who John said he were?
Okay. I, John, who also am your brother and companion.
Right there. So John is talking to I, John, I am your brother. Talking to bloodline people, be right. He letting you know I am your brother. I am your brother. So now he's writing a letter. And John is in prison. But he's writing a letter to some bloodline people. So he said, I am your brother. Is that what he said, Mother? And what did he say about being your brother?
I am your brother and companion in tribulation.
And companion. And where, Mother? What did he say yet?
In tribulation.
Stop right there. Stop right there. Right there. He said, I am your brother and companion in tribulation. Now we're going to deal with that, Mother Z. We're going to find out what he means by what that prophesied to happen and who was his brother that he's talking about through the precepts. Let's go to Deuteronomy 4:1-2 and verse number 30. And 31. Mosey, we're going to analyze this right here. Let's we're going to analyze a little bit of this. I, John, your brother and companion in tribulation. Because he's on the Isle of Patmos, and on the Isle of Patmos was the Romans exile you to put you in solitary prison. He was banished off to a prison. So he in a prison right. So this letter he writing is to his brother. Let him know he's in prison. He's been banished to the isle called Patmos. And that was a Roman facility for convicts. That means he was contrary to the Roman way of thinking and walking and talking. So John was put off on the Isle of Patmos in prison. That's how we're setting this up. Mother going to let us know but what is prophesied and to whom. Mother Z, we're going to Deuteronomy 4:1-2, 30 and 31, and we're going to analyze what's going on, what this already prophesied come out.
Deuteronomy 4:1-2, and what were the last verses?
30 and 31. We're going to analyze something. We're going to keep him be preceptors up to make some sense of what's going on with John. Because when we read a certain word, we're going to both say, aha. Go ahead.
Deuteronomy chapter 4. Verse 1 and 2, and skip down to 30 and 31. Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 1. Verse 1. Now therefore hearken, O Israel, unto the statutes and unto the judgment which I teach you, for to do them that ye may live and go in and possess the land which the Yahweh of your father gave you. Verse 2, he shall not add unto the words which I command you, neither shall he diminish off from it. That he might keep the commandments of the Yahweh, your Yahweh, which I command you. Excuse me. Verse 30. When you are in tribulation, and all these things are come upon you even in the latter days if you turn from the Yahweh, if you turn to the Yahweh, your Yahweh, and shall do and shall be obedient unto his voice. Verse 31. For the Yahweh, your Yahweh, is a merciful Yahweh. He will not forsake you, neither destroy you, neither forget, the covenant of your father, which he swore unto them.
Now you hear that? So now, when did that come to pass, Mother E of Judas? When did that come to pass? We're reading it now in Revelation chapter 1, verse 9. John is fulfilling that prophecy. So John, a disciple of Yahweh, was put in exile by the Roman government in prison for teaching the word of Yahweh. He was in prison. So now he in prison going through tribulation. He said, I'm in the same state y'all in, and the angel came to me to write to y'all, and we're gonna find out where they at to let them know I'm a man of Yahweh, that's what he's saying, but they got me locked up in prison. But guess what? That don't mean I'm supposed to have a zeal for Yahweh. He's in prison. So although he's in prison, he still got to do his Yahweh duty in prison. So now the angel told him, now you see where you got to get that done? Where you at now? I'm on the Isle of Patmos. Why are you here? They locked me up. Okay, so that means you go sit on God of the Bay? No. So now write to your brother. And mother getting ready to read. He's writing to your Israelite brother. Now, mother, now we're going to set it up. Prayerfully, the national audience understand exactly what's going on. John is writing to his brother. Let them know I'm a companion just like you, and I'm in tribulation just like you is. So I'm telling you to be of good cheer and have your zeal and be zealous for some Yahweh. So now, I probably will paint the picture up. Now you can go read some more out of that verse again with that understanding. Not because you locked up, you put the words out. Not because you got a cold, not because you got any problem wrong with you. That means you're supposed to get it and even worse. I mean, more in it. You don't back away from Yahweh. The worse he put you in, the more you pull to him. Because of him setting you up to see what you had a zeal for me when things is not in your favor, will your zeal be up to snuff, even when in prison. Now, who all understand that? What mother, Sister Judith, mother, y'all understand that? What those things are laid out?
You said John was in trouble. Okay. And he was, yes, he has the patience of Yahweh's son.
What you mean by he was in trouble? What was he at, mother? What you mean by he was in trouble? What you mean by calling that verse? What was he at? He was on the Isle of Patmos in prison.
Okay.
He was in prison.
Yeah, I know he said he was in prison.
And then the angel came to him in prison and told him, he it ain't about no woe is me about him being in prison. I want you still to take care of my business right to the one that's in tribulation that's not in prison. So because he was in prison, the angel didn't come to pat him on the back. No, he kind of said, you know, I put you in prison for one reason. But you can make sure you got time now to write to your brother that somewhere else. See that? So sometimes Yahweh had to put you to get your attention. He might have to do some things to you to get your attention. He might have to keep on doing some things for you to wake up. He might have to make you uncomfortable in your body to get your attention. Y'all understand? Can y'all understand what those fears saying there, mother? Yes. He might have to make you uncomfortable to get your attention. You might get on a roll, and the more I bless your hand, the more you get off in something else. So, man, so I have to slow you down before I kill you to get your attention. That's what he's saying. And then, I'm going to get a precept on that, sister. Hey, Sister Judith, give me a precept on that. Let's go to Isaiah 42. Let's get a precept. We can get up here. Go ahead and give the national orders a precept on that. Let's get a precept on that. We're going to Isaiah. Sister Judith. Where we going? We're going to give us a precept on that. He's going to give us a precept. Mother, he picked that up. So the Judas got to take her shoe off and point at grandbaby and tell him, I'm talking on this national radio broadcast, so y'all kind of pull down for a minute. She's going to have to put a shoe on somebody for a minute while we take care of the business of Yahweh's business. Now, Mother Z, let's see, can we go to the 42nd chapter of Isaiah, and we're going to get a precept on that. Now we're going to look for a precept in 42, how he'll put you in a bind, and properly it'll get your attention. You go on to Isaiah 42, Mother. And we'll pick it up at verse number 20 to 25. Hey, Mother Eve. And pick up verse 20. Down to verse 25.
Okay. Isaiah chapter 42, verses 20 to 25. Verse 20. Seeing many things, but thou observe not. Open the ear, but he hears not. 21. The Yahweh is well pleased for his righteous sake. He will magnify the law and make it honorable. Verse 22. But this is the people. Robbers, but this is the people, rob and fall. They are all of them snared in holes, and they are hid in prison houses. They are for a prey and none deliver, for a spoil and none says restore. 23. Who among you will give ear to this? Who will hearken and hear for the time to come? Verse 24. Who gives Jacob for a spoil and Israel to the robber? Is not Yahweh he against whom we have sinned? For they would not walk in his ways, neither were they obedient to his voice. Verse 25. Therefore, he has poured upon him the fury of his anger and the strength of battle, and it has set him on fire round about, yet he know not, and it burned him, yet he laid it not to mind.
Yeah. He said, now, they want to do everything but keep his law.
Mm-hmm.
They want to do everything, mother, but keep his law. So he said, this is a people, by not keeping my law, they have robbed and they fall. So they got to fall by keeping my law. That's what he's saying. So what we're going to do, we're going to stop here and bring our ear there and tell y'all all about who brings the broadcast. So now you see, so Yahweh put him in prison. He burnt him on every business deal. And they still ain't figured out what will happen. And that's what's going on with the people called the children of Israel today. He done burnt him on every side, mothers, sisters, elders, brothers. And they still ain't figured out. The only success you have in Yahweh is keeping his law. You can't put his law as the afterburner and think you're going to continue to prosper because he's going to cut you short. See? So there it is. So we're going to stop right there for a minute, and we're going to bring our elder in, and he'll tell you all about the broadcast, and then we'll get back on some more on the special edition called Thursday Evening. So when you meet our elder with a loud voice, you say, Elder, Mr. Chill, Israel. That's why I beat you that seed right.
And Yahweh bless you, seed Israel, seed royal. Hallelujah. Yahweh.
Hallelujah. Like I said, again, the beat goes on. And it's all about Yahweh's word. So whatever the Almighty put on you to tell them and all about who bring this broadcast, take the time, you on the clock. Come
out. Well, once again, Yahweh bless you, and thank you for bringing me into tonight's broadcast. And I know it's among a cast of over 900,000, but the exact count, I don't know. But I know that's always a good thing. Because, you know, when you come into the temple, or you're listening to the words that come from the temple, you know you're going to receive that which is good. And I would have been here earlier myself, but I was busy rehearsing the righteous act of some of those people that really need it, which came out quite well. And who gets the response or the benefits in that? Voices of the True Israelites. I told them that's where this word came from. That's where it was learned. And, you know, you have other people out there that have done the same thing in the past. Like in the book of Matthew, chapter 21, verse number 23. And it says, and when he's coming to the temple, the chief priests and the elders of the people came unto him as he was teaching. And he said, by what authority doest thou these things? And who gave us this authority? Well, we all know that was Yahweh the Son. But in this case, we know that the authority came from the seer who taught us. And we pass that teaching on to others that really need it. And that's a good thing. Because that gate for righteousness is very narrow. It's a very narrow gate to go straight. And that's mentioned in the book of Matthew, chapter 7. Verse number 13. It says, enter ye at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Well, you can see that on a daily basis, especially what some of these pastors, preachers, deacons, and stuff are giving the people as their righteous way of learning. This is the reason why we're here, to help guide you through all these bad times of our teaching. Loud bump the gums for supposedly righteous learning and Christianity. We welcome you to this program. And thank all of you for attending our live broadcast of Yahweh's ministry. We come to you live and open to you always with new and exciting topics from the King James Bible. And first and foremost, about Yahweh's word, which the book we're often questioned about. learning how to connect these books to health, foods you should eat, and keeping the Sabbath days. We do all this because you have not. This is information you came to seek and now found that which you have sought, and the voices of the true Israelites, tribe of Yadav. We're open unto you from 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. on the normal days of Sunday, Monday, Wednesday, Thursday, having no class on Tuesday unless we have a high day or a special event. Now, Sabbath class we do have. Top part of Sabbath is Friday. We have a temple class that starts at 7:30 p.m. to 10:30 p.m. And the bottom part of the Sabbath is Saturday. We have a temple class that starts at 12 p.m. and an online class that starts at 2 to 5 p.m. until the temple members desire to leave. Now, we also have a website address. Use this on any one of your smart devices in atribeyada.com. After you click enter, look for tribeyada.com-Israelites. This way, you'll see the big wire, and there'll be some choices. Click PayPal and follow the instructions. Now, on any other device, you might see menu, but after clicking this, again, you'll still see choices. And still choose the tithes and offerings. And doing so, remember what it tells all of us to read the book of Psalms, chapter 96, verse 7 and verse number 8. 7 says, give unto the Yahuwah, you tender to the people. Give unto the Yahuwah glory and strength. 8, give unto the Yahuwah the glory due unto his name. Bring an offering and come into his courts. Now, I always remind everyone that when you're doing this, to remember that Yahuwah loves a cheerful giver. And also, donations to this ministry is greatly appreciated that you give according to the Bible scriptures that are read in the book of Leviticus, chapter 27, verse number 30, and read once again in the book of Hebrews, chapter 7, verse 8, and verse number 9. This is done to keep this ministry bringing you Thus Says Yahuwah alive. Also, for building a school, a banquet hall, a radio station, and land to grow the health foods we continue to speak of on this program. Also while there, we even have a calendar. Check your calendar, which will help keep you, your family, and friends in tune with the Bible feast days that come to us throughout the year. We also have a live program. This feature is available during our broadcast time. To get there, just enter three words, Yahuwah Radio Live. And when you click in it, look for Voices of the True Israelites, tribe of Yahuwah. Click the red live button as soon as it appears. It'll put you right into our live online broadcast. We even have a few numbers you can call with Yahuwah in mind. The first is our live conference room number, which is 319-527-6065. The other is 224-600-5579. This would be our international number where you can call and leave a message on those scriptures that you may have questions on, which can be answered by any one of the 69 accounts of Yahuwah's ministry. But now also in saying that, do not call this number trying to teach. I'll have to remind you, you will only hear a discouraging click followed by a dial tone. By calling this same number, you can order what our members know as the 12 programs via the 12 Tribes of Israel on DVD. However, just make sure we get the correct name and the correct address, and you will receive it promptly. On another note, we'd like to ask, please do not contact us here via email, phone, or text before broadcast or afterwards. As you might imagine, he's usually pretty busy at the WCC, the New York Station stockholder, Mr. Cigar Man, and answering many memos that most of us have seen. But even now, in addition to that, Latter-day Saints. So please use the international line of 224-600-5579. And if the question is legit, you will receive a call back, unless you call trying to teach. As I said, you will only hear that discouraging doubt tone. Now, if you've happened to miss the beginning of today's program, not to worry. Catch the entire recorded show at 9:15 p.m., except Fridays. Program recorded time is repeated after 10:30. Just enter Yahuwah Radio Live on the search line and look for Voices of the Israelites, Tribe of Yahuwah. Choose the program that you are late logging into or any previous day that you would like to listen. And also, during our normal broadcast, we're also simultaneously transmitting on CalTalk. CalTalk can be logged in by your phone, your tablet, computer, even now your smartwatch. Just download the PalTalk app. We will be listening under ethnic group, African American. Look for Voices of the True Israelites, Tribal Yada. Your final room will hold 50 or more listening participants, where Yahuwah's Word will also be working for your Bible education. Online there to answer those on the table topics we discussed during our broadcast will be Elder Nesetiah of Israel, along with the Seer Israel writing a shotgun. During this time, however, we'll be taking no comments off topic or any more than two text questions answered at a time. And if broad talk ends before teaching time, well, we will continue our teaching on Pal Talk. Now, that would be, yeah, we will continue our teaching on Pal Talk, which we usually do. Yahuwah be with you all. But when we're given those scriptures to speak by the seer, as a reminder, be quick to hear and slow to speak. So those words of Yahuwah comes out flowing smoothly. Remember that we have hundreds of thousands of listeners that came to hear the righteous words of Yahuwah and not that of confusion. Once again, our reminder for that is in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 33. And so we can start to listen to those scriptures, which will lead us in the direction that we're going, the righteous direction. We pass our program back to our seer Israel and say, Hallelujah, Yahuwah.
All right, Daniel. Hallelujah, Yahuwah. Excellent on your part. We don't get back with Mother, but we don't bring the young lion in. Do he want to have the time to holler in the microphone a little bit, too? We'll find out. Let's find about the young lion, Brother Micaiah, up and coming teacher out of Carolina. Brother Micaiah Israel, tribe of Yahuwah, Judah, up and coming teacher out of Carolina. Yahuwah BBSC Ray.
Yahuwah bless you there. Sir Israel. Oh, see what? Hallelujah, Yahuwah.
Hallelujah, Yahuwah, that young lion. Do you want to give an announcement about who all can this broadcast as we speak? And let's see exactly what the young lion going to bring to the table about who else is speaking broadcast on Take 19 of Voice of the True Israelites. So what's going on there with that young lion? You on the clock, come on.
All right, Sis Red C. Wood. We know we live right now on Blog Talk. We know we be airing on Pal. We also have some Facebook going on too now. We got the Facebook page at BOTTY. You can type in those keys, BOTTY, on your page. You'll find us right there. Any one of the previous Blog Talk radio stations, anything that was live during the side of the class. We load them up on our Facebook page, so check us out on Facebook at BOTTY. You can also catch us on YouTube. We've been live on YouTube a few times. We pull up some of the previous lessons we have done on our YouTube page, and you can catch us on YouTube at Tribe, at BOTTY, Tribe, YHDH. Once again, you can catch us on YouTube, and any one of the previous broadcast we had aired or any of the live takes we had done on YouTube, you can type in those keys at BOTTY, Tribe, YHDH. So if you got any questions or comments, you can also call in at 224-600-5579. We ask you to write down your notes and also ask your questions because we here to do our job. So put us to the test. And over to you, Sis Rare C. Roy. Hallelujah, Yahuwah.
Hallelujah, Yahuwah, young man. That's excellent on your part. We don't see him get back with Mother Eagle. Mother Eagle was, she read that first line and Revelation chapter 1, verse number 9. She read that first line, but I ain't through with that first line. I need to bring out a little bit more precept about that first line. Mother, so read that again, Mother. I want to do a little precepting on that. On that first line of John, he's writing to some brother somewhere, and he's where, come back and read that one line. Take your time because I want to bring a teaching out in that And like we said on the last night broadcast, we can give 200 scriptures in a row, but what good that means if we don't give you the proper breakdown and understanding? Because one day you'll be on the clock, and you might have 200 scriptures, but no breakdown. So we want to give you breakdown by reviewing the other tapes to get that. So come on back and give me that Revelation 1, verse 9 again, Mother. Give me that top line again. 1, verse number 9 again. It's something else in there I want to take a look at. Come on.
Book of Revelation, chapter 1, verse 9. I, John, who also am your brother and companion in tribulation and in the kingdom and patience
okay.
of Yahweh.
Hold that part right there, Mother. Now I want to take a look at that companion. I want to take a look at that word called companion. Remember, every verse have a precept verse. And something he said, I, John, was on the Isle of Patmos. I'm your brother and your companion in tribulation. Now I want to take a look at that verse of there, companion. Young Lion, Brother Micaiah, let's look at that Hebrews chapter 10, verse 33. I want to examine that word companion. Let's see if we examine that through the Spirit of Yahuwah about what he means by your companion. Hebrews 10, 33, let's read a little bit. Come on. Brother Micaiah, let's read a little
going
bit.
Going over to the book.
10, mm-hmm.
Yes, sir. We're going over to the book of Hebrews, chapter 10, the book of the Israelites, chapter 10, verse number 33. 33 reads, partly, whilst you were made a gazing star, both by reproaches and afflictions, and partly, whilst you became companions of them that were so used.
Hey.
Verse 34.
Yes.
For you had compassion of me in my bond and took joyfully the spoiling of your goods, knowing in yourself that you have in heaven a better and an enduring substance. 35. Cast not away, therefore, your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. 36.
Mm-hmm.
For you have need of patience, that after you have done the will of Yahweh, you might receive the promise. 37. For yet a little while, and he that shall come will come, and will not tarry. 38. Now the just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in them. Verse 39. But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul.
Now we've been reading earlier about based upon drawing back, and we must keep us plenty. Hey, give me a definition of what we got to make sure that we never lose. I need a definition of the word called D-E-A-L. I need a definition what we must, because he said if you draw back, I ain't got no patience for you. I mean, he said you'll be destroyed if you draw back. So what level you go to the doctor, get your blood check and see how your blood is. So what level, according to the Bible, we got to check to make sure by the definition of the word called Z-E-A-L. What that word mean, that Elder Mathias and Brother Micaiah, look up the word called Zealous for me. jealousy. I need to hear that word one more time, because he's saying, I ain't got no pleasure when you draw back. See, he ain't got no pleasure when you lose a certain campaign. He's saying that if you lose them, he ain't got no pleasure if you lose them. A-A-L, what is that? D-G-A-L say? What does that mean? Hey, Elder, can you pull that out for me, Elder? Or Young Lion, can you pull that D-E-A-L out for us here? What that word means?
Sir. All right. Zell definition for the Google Dictionary. It says, great energy or enthusiasm in pursuit of a cause or an object.
Wait a minute, Young Lion. He said, now, I ain't got no pleasure when you draw back from zeal. And I mean, when you come to take care of Yahweh's business, what is the definition of being that zeal at? Young Lion?
Great energy or enthusiasm.
He said, we don't have to have to wind you up to get going. You supposed to check yourself to make sure you still got that zeal. Mm-hmm. See, that zeal, see, he don't want you to draw back from that zeal. See, so you got to always remember, you got to have that zeal. Now, this word called zealous, let's get a case in point there, Young Lion. Read that word called zealous. We want to get a case in point by going to 1 Kings 19:10 and get an idea of what zealous meant. But it was a seer was sent there in 1 Kings 19:10 to get that word in. Once you get that word down, look it up and tell me what that word means. When Ezekiel talks about how zealous he were in 1 Kings 19:10, what do you say? And 11.
Going over to the book. We're going to the book of 1 Kings. You want to read chapter 19? Verse 10 and verse number 11. The book of 1 Kings, chapter 19, verse 10 and verse number 11. Verse 10 reads, and he said, I have been very zealous for the Yahuwah, the Yahuwah of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken your covenant, thrown down thy altars, and slain your seers with the sword. And I alone am left, and they seek my life to take it away. Verse 11.
Yeah, that's good. That's good enough right there. So you see what he's saying? He said he ain't lost his zeal. No, he's always zeal. But the children of Israel, they are about to lose a zeal. He said, I ain't got no pleasure when you draw back. So he put zeal in his people, and he told the seer, go back and remind them that you got to check yourself, like they say, with that old slang talk, before you wreck yourself. You have to make sure whatever you in, you keep your level of zeal up. So from Yahuwah, turn it out. Like I said again, I was listening to a tape once upon a time ago. I said, well, that sounds like some zeal in a corner right now. I see Yahuwah still got a hand on those fear, because every time I get excited, every time it's time to take care of Yahuwah's business, because this is a privilege to it. And you got to always make sure you got that zeal. One day you might need it. One day you might need you some Yahuwah, and he's going to ask the angel, well, what that zeal was anyway? Had they lost that zeal? Oh, yeah, they lost the zeal. Okay, good. Well, I lost my zeal, too. Now, what's that word zealous mean? Now, give me the good part of zealous. Now, zealous means a lot of things today, but I want you to pick out the good part according to the lesson about being zealous for some Yahuwah. Just look down and give me what I need there. Don't give me what the world part of it. Just put out the what we need for this broadcast. Come on zealous. Come on. You know what I mean?
Okay. Looking up zealous.
Google
Hebrew dictionary, it reads, showing great energy or enthusiasm.
Ain't that stuff? Wait a minute. That's not what I need. What you got to have?
Great energy and enthusiasm.
You know, sometimes you might sit down with the better half of one of bread and you get in the book and all of a sudden they start yawning. And Mother read earlier, one guy, Paul, was throwing down so hard he was sitting in the window in the early part of the lesson. And he jumped down in the seat and fell out the window and killed himself. But no, when you hear the word of Yahweh come out, you're going to be what again, that young line?
Great energy and enthusiasm.
You see that? Now you see that? So now that God was the seer, say he had great zealous from Yahweh. And that's what the seer looking for on today to find out where the ones that got that. Because I know one thing, if you got that, you can tell Yahweh that spirit is going on today. You know? You folks out there pump nobody up to bring the A game. You folks are having automatic in you because it's in you. And he told you, I ain't got no pleasure in you drawing back. That's what he said. We'll leave it right there. Hey, Mother, come on back and read a little bit more, Mother. Mother, come on back and read a little bit more.
Okay.
Mother, come on back and read a little bit more. Yeah, come on back. We're going to see what else we got in there. So we can't just run off on it because time is too late. Come on back to that 1-9. And pick up where you left off at.
That is the whole thing. Okay. With patience, companion to the race. Okay. And in the kingdom, and you want to read 9 again?
No. You pick up where you left off at.
Oh,
you already got that. We're companion. We're clear about that. So now you
want to
go forward now. You
want to
roll along now.
Okay, Revelation chapter 1, verse 10. I was in the spirit on the Yahweh's day and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet.
Mm-hmm.
Verse 11. Saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last, and what thou seest, write in a book, and send it unto the 7 churches, which are in Asia, unto...
Stop it there, Moses. He's an hour. But we read, he was having, in the same trouble with his brother was in. So the churches he was writing to were the churches where his brother was at. And Mother Z, give me the biblical definition for this church, Mother Z. I need the biblical definition for this church. And find out what you're talking about, this church. Give me that 738, Mother Z. And Sister Judith had me 17, verse 1 of Exodus waiting on me in Acts 21:27. Let's see what we got here. Mother Z, Acts 7:38.
Acts, just a minute. Acts chapter 7, verse 38.
So he writes to the churches. But the church, he said, I'm your brother. Is that what he's saying? So what churches is he writing to that we can read, Mother? Z?
Acts.
In 7:38.
Acts chapter 7, verse 38. This is he that were in the church in the wilderness.
Oh.
Which the angel.
That's good. That's good, right there. So he's writing to the church that was in the wilderness. So that's right. He's writing to the church that was in the wilderness. So when you jump down that 1, 9 through 11, he's writing to the church that's in the wilderness. And Sister Judith, what church that was in the wilderness that we can read in 17 verse 1? Correct. Sister Judith, what church that he was writing to that was in the wilderness in the book of Exodus 17 verse 1, Sister Judith? What church was that? Pick that up, Brother McKay.
All right. We're going to the book of Exodus chapter 17. I want to read verse number 1. The book of Exodus, chapter 17, verse number 1 reads, "And all the congregation of the children of Israel journeyed from the wilderness of Sin."
So the ones in the wilderness, that word church, although we see the word written church, so he's writing to the church in the wilderness, the church is who again? Are you online? Who was that church?
All the congregation of the children of Israel.
All the congregation of the children of Israel. So there it is. So now this message is going for the church that in the wilderness, but the church is a polluted word for the children of Israel. Now, hey, Ella, I don't know if your microphone down or not. But give me a hallelujah if the WCC is allowing you to get on that microphone.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Let's find out about this church in the wilderness, Elder. Let's even find out about this church in the wilderness by going to Acts 21:27. What church in the wilderness? What church is he talking about? That's in the wilderness.
In the book of Acts, chapter 21,
yeah.
Verse number 27.
Verse 27. Okay, what church in the 27. Wilderness?
Okay. 27 says, "And when 7 days were almost ended, the Jews which were of Asia, when they saw him in the temple, stirred up all the people and laid hands on him."
Mm-hmm. Yeah, read that verse 21 again, Elder. I want to tie that in to the church in the wilderness. I'm going to find out what church is in the wilderness. So let's come back and tighten it up a little bit more so I can get excited behind it.
27.
So what church is according to verse number 27?
"And when the 7 days were almost ended, the Jews..."
Yes. The Jews, which is Judah.
"Which were of Asia."
Stop
when
right
they
there.
Saw him
so,
in...
So, hold on, right there. That's all I want. So he was writing to the church that was in Asia, and we found out the church that he was writing to is the church of Judah that was in Asia. So that was he writing to. He was writing to his brothers over there. So his brothers over there was not a building. That was the scattered Judah that was in Asia. And there is that there. So that's way before 96 AD. So they was already over there in Asia, called the day, China and Japan. And they had set up temples over there. And so John is writing to them, to Judah over there. That's what he's writing to. So that's what he's writing to over there, Judah. Now, since we know he's writing to Judah over there, now, Mother Z, we know who he's writing to now. Let's see what kind of message he's writing to in the second chapter. Verse 1, 2, and 3, and expose a statement or a comment or a commentary. Give me the second chapter of 1, 2, and 3. Mother Z.
Second Samuel?
1, 2, and 3. Then give me a closing statement or commentary or comment or whatever you want to do after you read 1, 2, and 3.
Second Samuel.
No, Revelation. He writes the children of Judah. Judah got seven major churches in China and Japan. The angel came to him in captivity in prison. So he writes, he said to them, we know you in prison, but it ain't about you. It's about you writing to the one that's in your companion, your brother, that's in tribulation too, but they over there in China and Japan. So you don't lose your zeal while you in prison or whatever you're doing, never lose your zeal for the Yahuwah. Be zealous for Yahuwah entering in season and out of season to receive your blessings. Or you mess around, might look for a precept, and then, and what will Yahuwah do in 28, verse number 6, Brother Guy, 28, verse 6, what would Yahuwah do? So sometimes we put him as an afterburner, then all of a sudden we might need him, and look what it says in 1 Samuel 28, verse number 6.
The book of 1 Samuel, chapter 28, we're going to pick it up at verse number 6. The book of 1 Samuel, chapter 28, verse number 6, verse 6 reads, and when Saul inquired of the Yahuwah answered him not, neither by dream, nor by Urim, nor by seers.
Yeah. So he think he can pick Yahuwah up when he get ready. When I get everything out the way, and I pick this from Yahuwah up, then what Yahuwah do for him, young lion?
Yahuwah not answering.
He left him out there. He left him out there. He said, since you got me as an afterburner, I'm gonna put you as an afterburner. You see that? See, one thing you might need the Almighty. That's why he said, always check your zeal and be zealous of the Yahuwah. It's an in season and out of season. You got to have that fire going all the way because it's a privilege to be able to come and deal with his word at such a time it is today to inform our people exactly what he is in this state of mind. Come on, that Mosey. Give me that 1, 2, and 3.
Revelation chapter 2, 1, 2, and 3.
Yes,
Revelation chapter 2, verse 1, 2, and 3, or just 1 and 2?
1, 2,
Revelation. Okay. Revelation chapter 2, verse 1, 2, 1 and 2. Revelation. Chapter 2, verse 1, unto the angel of the church of Ephesus, write these things, said he that hold the seven stars in his right hand, who walk in the mirror of, in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. Verse 2. Verse 2. I know your works and their labor and their patience and how you cannot bear them which are evil, and thou hast tried them which said they are apostates and are not and not and are not and has from found them liars.
Remember, Paul, I mean, John is on the Isle of Patmos. He's in prison. The angel came to him in prison for him to write to the one that over there, you know, skinning and grinning over there in Asia. So he writing to them. So this is mixed up. And once you tie in one verse, so he writing to his congregations of Israel that's in China and Japan. That's what's going on. But he's in prison himself to get them to say, look here, just like I'm in prison, I still got the zeal and the zealous to tell you what the Spirit saying. I can't worry about no war with me. I got to live on my part, although he's in prison. So he says, I know some of y'all are all right, but a few of y'all got a little line going on with you, too. See, that's what he's saying. Tell them, I know it is a fruit, all right. But the law of liars also there. That was just said. Close statement, Mosey, what you got there? Close statement, come on.
I'm going to read in Revelation chapter 1, verse 16. And he had in his right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his content was as the sun shining in his strength. Verse 17, and when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead, and he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, fear not, I am the first and the last. Verse 18, and I'm gonna stop. I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Hallelujah, Yahweh, and have the key of hell and death. And I just like to say, hallelujah, Yahweh.
Hallelujah,
Yahweh. Hallelujah, Yahweh. This is my closing statement.
Hallelujah. Excellent. So now John is telling him to tell them exactly who he is by John speaking from the mouth of Yahweh. He says, unto the churches at Ephesus, let you know that you was over there too. You had congregations of Israel there. He said, these things said he that holds in his right hand and who walked in the midst of seven golden candlesticks. Now let's get talking, Mother Z. Now, Mother E, that's big talk. We might as well preach up there and get one verse 12 out of there. Let's preach up there and find out who is this with all this power? Romans 12:20. It tell us something. Revelation chapter 1, verse 12 and 20. And the closing statement there, Mother.
Revelation chapter 1, verse 12 and verse 20. Revelation chapter 1, verse 12. And I turned to see the voice that speak with me. And being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks. Verse 20.
Read 13 and 20.
And in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girded about the path with a golden girdle. The mystery of the seven stars was thus fall in my right hand, and the seven golden candlesticks. The seven stars are the angels of the seven churches, and the seven candlesticks with the source of the seven churches.
Uh-huh. So again, the mystery of the seven stars, which you saw in my right hand. And who right hand was all this? More like the Son of Man. So you tell John, look at this. You tell him the one that controls everything that got John in the captivity. And not only got John in captivity, he also is letting them know what they got to do. And we're going to find out a little bit more about it after Mother E. closing statement that come out.
Oh, just thank you, praise Yahweh for the class. Thank you, praise Yahweh being class. And just thank Yahweh for the word. Hallelujah, Yahweh.
Hallelujah, Yahweh. And now, Sister Judith, I don't know if your microphone back up or down, but I want to come back to this revelation, Sister Judith. And I want to look right at verse number 3, down to verse 5, and the closing statement, Sister Judith. Hey, Sister Judith, pick it up at Revelation 2, 3 down to verse 5, what it say. Hey, Elder, Mr. Till, pick that up at 2 down to verse 5, 3 down to verse 5, and close the segment, Elder. Let's see what we got here. Revelation chapter 2. Verse 3, 4, and 5, Elder, look at you of Israel, you on the clock and a closing statement that come out. Pick it up at Revelation chapter 2. Pick it up verse 3. Oh, come on, Elder. $3,
okay.
Verse 5.
3 says, and has borne and has patience, and for my name's sake has labored and has not fainted. 4. Nevertheless, I have somewhat again thee, because thou hast left my first love. 5. Remember therefore from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and I will remove thy candlesticks out of its place, except thou repent.
Yeah, so you hear your friend? He said, but I got some against you. He said, now you got too busy to take care of my business. He said, now, I want you to remember your first love. He said, now, John, right to him, I told John is in prison. He said, look here now. Remember, Elder preached up there to St. John chapter 14, verse 14 and 15. Wait, what are you talking about? St. John chapter 14, 14 and 15. So he said, now look. He said, now remember, John is on the Isle of Patmos. He just exiled into the penitentiary. He is lost. Matter of fact, young lion, Bob Caius, give me EZRA 725-58. Give me EZRA Bob Caius. Chapter 7, verse 25 and 28. Listen to this. Come on, young lion.
All right. We're going over to the book of Ezra. We're in chapter 7, verse 25 down to 28. Yes. Chapter 7, 25 and it reads,
And you, Ezra, after the wisdom of your God that is in your hand, set magistrates
and judges,
which may judge all the people that are beyond the river, all such as know the laws of your Yahweh, and teach you them that know them not. Verse 26. And whosoever will not do the law of your Yahweh and the law of the king, let judgment be executed speedily upon him, whether it be unto death, or to banishment, or to confiscation, or of goods, or to imprisonment. Verse 27. Blessed be the Yahweh of our fathers, which hath put such a thing as this in the king's mind, to beautify the temple of the Yahweh, which is in Yadaju. 28. And hath extended mercy unto me before the king and his council and his counselors, and before all the king's mighty princes. And I was strengthened as the hand of the Yahweh, my Yahweh, was upon me. And I gathered together out of Israel chief men to go up with me.
Mm-hmm. Wait a minute. Read both 25 and 26 again. Young line. Can you read
those? All right. Look at Ezra, E-C-R-A, chapter 7, verse 25. Read it. And you, Ezra, after the wisdom of your Yahweh that is in the hand, set magistrates and judges, which may be judged, all which may judge all the people that are beyond the river, all such as know the laws or of your Yahweh, and teach you them of your Yahweh, and teach them and teach you them that know them not. 26. And whosoever will not do the law of your Yahweh and the law of the king, let judgment be executed speedily upon him, whether it be unto death, or to banishment, or to the confiscation of goods, of goods, or to imprisonment.
Yeah. You and y'all, what I just said, told Ezra, tell him, look here. Listen, you ain't got no choice. This law is on the table. And then this was just why John ended up he was taken off the sea. He was taken out in abandonment. I hope I get the word right, but I don't so be it. But the point I'm saying is, we got to understand one thing. I don't care how high we get, we got to make sure we have zeal and some zealous for the law of Yahweh. Regardless. And when he puts the blessing on your hand, always remember one thing. Blessings and curses come from Yahweh. Both of them come from Yahweh. Give me 11:26 to 28, there, young line. Before I go back to the hill, give me 11:26 to 28 to make sure we're clear about what this man's saying, how he's saying. Deuteronomy chapter 11:26-28.
All right, we're going over there to the book of Deuteronomy chapter 11, verse 26 down to verse 28. The book of Deuteronomy, chapter 11, verse 26 down to verse 28. Verse 26 reads, and behold, I set before you this day a blessing and a curse. 27. A blessing if you obey the laws of Yahweh, your Yahweh, which I command you this day. 28. And a cloak, if you will not obey the laws of Yahweh.
Read that again. Hey, y'all, I think y'all read that again.
Oh, yes, sir. Verse 28. 28. And a curse if you will not obey the laws of the Yahweh, your Yahweh. But turn aside out of the way which I command you this day to go after false Yahweh, which you have not known.
Give me off St. John 3:27.
Right. Going over there to St. John, chapter 3, we want verse number 27. The book of St. John, chapter 3, verse 27. John answered and said, a man can receive nothing except it be given him from heaven.
Yeah. So the man can look at his hand, I do a blessing in his hand, remember one thing, Yahweh, if you want to make it happen. But he said one thing, look in the mirror and see, do you still have that zealous and you still have that zeal for the word of Yahweh. Come on, Elder, what's that? St. John 14:14-15, and the closing statement of Elder.
In the book of St. John, chapter 14, reading verses 14 and verse 15. 14 says, if you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. 15, if you love me, keep my commandments or Torah instructions.
You know what I'm saying? Now come on back and read that that verse 5 again in Revelation. Yeah, you ask anything in my name, but what we got to make sure, we got zeal and zealous to keep his law. Not just be a hearer of his law, but a doer of his law. So John was on the Isle of Patmos. He'd been exiled, abandonment, imprisonment. He's in prison. An angel come in and told him, so all right, John, I got you where I want you at. And you write to them brothers over there that's skinny and grinning over there in China and Japan. And he wrote and said, what's it in verse 5? Two verse 5. What did he say to him in the closing statement?
And the book of, is that the book of Revelations, 2 verse 5? Or John 2 verse 5?
Yes, sir. Revelations 2 verse 5.
Okay, there we go. Revelations. Chapter 2, verse number 5 says, remember therefore from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and I will remove thy candlestick out of its place, except thou repent.
Your first work is keeping zeal and zealous in keeping the law. That was the first word. Now, he that mother, he and mother, that's right. Hallelujah, Yahweh. Your first word was to remember you had zeal and you have zealous on keeping that law. That's your first word. Everything will be added after that. Close statement, young Elder Phil, you're on the clock for your close statement that come up.
Once again, Yahweh, bless your seed of Israel, young lion, the mothers, and all the people that's on the listening network. And as you can tell, the elder's hand was full earlier today, passing out the word as it is spoken from the temple to others that really need that word. And this is one of the things that we have to do, make sure that splash of righteousness is passed on to people that can pass it to others.
Hallelujah, Yahweh.
So you see, so he wants you to always examine yourself. It's all about one thing, having that zeal for his word. Now, young lion, let's pick up at verse 6. Are we gonna pick up at verse 6 of that second chapter? Now, remember the setup. John is in imprisonment. He's been exiled to the Isle of Patmos. The angel didn't come and ask him, what you doing up in here? He know why he was there. That's what he said, I want you to write to your brother that's on the outside, skinning and grinning over there in China and Japan. And look what he said in verse 6, let's read a bit. Brother Kaya, let's read a little bit. Where's Brother Makai at?
You say you want that. You call the verse out again, still?
2:6.
2:6 of Revelation.
Hallelujah. Why, y'all lying?
Book of Revelation, chapter 2. Let's pick it up at verse number 6. Book of Revelation, chapter 2, verse number 6, read. But this you had, that you hated the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate.
So now you got a group over there. Yahweh, he do some hating too. He said, you got some over there, hate a little bit. And he said, and I hate them too. That was Yahweh saying. So you see that? The one he'd be hollering on Sunday, y'all just don't understand, he got some hate too. So when he found out the Nicolaitans wasn't doing the law, so he said, look at it. You asking them ones over there, and there's another group of Israelites, that's one of them seven churches. See? That, which is the congregation of children of Judah, is in the air. Over there is some Nicolaitans. Nicolaitans. Thank you, Elder. He said, they ain't doing right. And when you ain't doing right, what y'all want to say? He what again, young man?
Hey.
Know what he say, huh?
What he say?
Read a little bit more in verse 7. Read a little bit more in verse 7, then.
All right. The book of Revelation, chapter 2, verse number 7. Verse 7 reads, he that hath an ear, let him hear. What spirit says unto all the congregation of the children of Israel, to him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of Yahuwah.
Ain't that something? You hear the man say it? He said, them Israelites over there and found in Russia. He said, look here. If you overcome this thing now, what you understand, it's stuff I don't like. And you got some over there that don't like it either. And guess what? I don't like it either. But the ones that agree with him, I got something for you. It's called a reward. I got the tree of life waiting on you. That's if you overcome it. Verse 8
reads, and unto the angel of all the congregation of the children of Israel in Smyrna, right?
So John is got to write and read all of big dignitaries they write. See, remember, while you in prison or whatever you in a delay, the angels are looking at everything. So now you over there at the Nicolaitan, you over there in Smyrna. Now, what do you got to tell old Smyrna? Go ahead.
These things says the first and the last, which was dead and is alive.
Wait a minute now. These things said the first and the last that was dead and now alive. Who is that? Back up, give me 1:8. 1 verse 5 to 8. Who is this right here? Who do all this great big talking? So John saying, look, I'm in prison. But I'm writing on the strength of somebody that was dead and now alive. Who are you talking about? 1:5-8. Young liar. Who's he writing on the strength of who in Revelation 1:5-8?
Book of Revelation, chapter 1, verse 5 down to verse 8. Verse 5 reads, and from Yahweh the Son, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. Verse 6, and have made us and priests unto Yahweh his Father. And to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Hallelujah. Verse 7. Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierce him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, hallelujah. Verse 8. I am the beginning and the end, said to Yahweh, which is and which was and which is to come, the Almighty.
Hey, Jack, you see what I'm doing to do? He's right through walls over there in China and Japan, and the walls, and we're going to skip, come on back to the second chapter, skip verse 9, and skip down to verse 10.
All right.
Now, get down to verse 11.
All right. Book of Revelation, chapter 2, picking up at verse number 11. Verse 11 reads, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto all the congregation of the children of Israel. He that overcometh shall not be hurt of the second death. Verse 12.
Hold on, young lad. Look, that man just said, he said, yo, if you overcome this thing, you won't be partakers of the second death. You're going to take the person. You don't want to mess around and wake up and get bumped in the thigh. He let you know, y'all over there skinning and grinning. Look here. You automatically going to take the first death because every man going to take that one. But you don't want to be woke up and take that second death. You got to overcome this thing. So what he's trying to tell you now, you got to overcome this thing. Hold that point. Back up and give me Matthew 6, 24 and 33 and come right back. Matthew 6, 24 and 33.
All right. We're going over to the book of Matthew, chapter 6. We want verse number 24 and verse number 23. Book of Matthew, chapter 6.
Hold on, young man. Give me chapter 6, 24 and 33.
The book of Matthew, chapter 6, verse 24 and 33. Verse 24 reads, no man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve Yahweh and Mammon. Verse 33. But seek you first the kingdom of Yahweh, his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you.
Mm-hmm. So day after day, he's letting you know, you got to overcome this thing. He said, you overcome this thing, you won't get caught up in the second death. Now come on back to 2 verse 12.
The book of Revelation, chapter 2, picking up at verse number 12. Verse 12 reads, and to the angel of all the congregation of the children of Israel in Pergamos, write, these things says he which has the sharp sword with two edges.
So he writing to Pergamum. So there go another, there go another. You remember all in the, and that was read, Mother didn't read in that 1:11. But these to them seven congregation of Judah over there in China and Japan, what you call Asia. That's what he writing to. Keep on reading that, young man.
Verse 13. I know your work and where you dwell, even where Satan's seat is. And you hold it.
He's like, I know what y'all got going on. I even know what Satan is. This man, John, right from prison. He said, I know your work. He said, I even know what Satan is sitting there. And we know what Satan's sitting there now over there in the Vatican City as we speak. So we know what Satan's sitting there even today. Go ahead, read.
And you hold it fast, my name, and has not denied. And you hold it fast, my name, and has not denied my faith, even in those days wherein Antipas was my faithful murderer, who was slain among you, where Satan dwelleth.
He said, I watched y'all do some killing on some of my leaders I had over there. Is John right about that? Right about that. Go ahead and read 14.
14. But I have a few things against you, because you have there them that hold the teaching of Balaam, who taught Balaam to cast a stumbling block before the children of Israel, to eat things sacrificed unto idols, and to commit fornication.
So you see that? He says there's a couple of you congregation over there, y'all doing some slick stuff over there, and remind them that I see him real good. So for time's sake, keep going. I like to jump on that a little bit too, but go ahead. Give me some more.
15. So has you also them that hold the teaching of the Nicolaitan, which thing I hate.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
16. Repent, or else I will come unto you quickly and will fight against them with the sword of my mouth.
Hear the man saying? The man saying, you tell them repent, they will fight against you with the sword of your mouth. If you know you are lost in zeal, you got your zeal, you look in the mirror, don't see no more zeal, look in the mirror and see no more zealous, he said you better repent and come back to your first love. Because verse 17.
He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto all the congregation of the children of Israel. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the hidden man, and will give him a white stone, and in the stone a new name written, which no man knoweth saving he that receiveth it.
Mm-hmm. So, for time's sake, I just can't break down that right there for time's sake, young lion. So we just gonna stop it right there for time's sake. Give me a little shelf 28 and 29 of closing statement. And we'll catch everybody tomorrow at 7:30. We might get back on again. It all depends on who's ready to go at 7:30. Verse 28 and 29, what it say?
The book of Revelation, chapter 2, verse 28 and 29. 28 reads, and I will give him the morning star. 29. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says unto all the congregation of the children of Israel.
Young man, closing statement, get to everybody again tomorrow at 7:30. Be ready to go, you hear? Come on there, young man. Take us home. Come on.
Thank you, Yahweh, for another blessed day to read his word. Thank you, Yahweh, for the opportunity of life to meet the servant, Spirit Israel of Seed Royal. Thank you, Yahweh, for opportunity to be able to teach my wife and children the laws, the word of Yahuwah. Thank you, Yahuwah, for the elders, the mothers,
all the teachers, the brothers and sisters in the 6th Anointed Camp. And thank you, y'all, for bringing all the 12 tribes of Israel back together. I want to read from the book of chapter 7, verse 1. Verse 1 reads, O Yahweh, my Yahweh, in you do I put my trust. Save me from all them that persecute me and deliver me. Hallelujah, Yahweh.
Hallelujah,
Yahweh.
Hallelujah,
Yahweh. Hallelujah, Yahweh.
Reciting verses about stabbing fires and cries of pain, but there was some hope. If someone had done his duty, don't believe that person could not be prevented from going directly to paradise. According to Jacques Legault, the noun purgatory was not commonly used until the late 12th century, when it was popularized by the Christian